This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 60. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now. Questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com and YouTube. We're on YouTube as well. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Hey, Craig. Good morning. Look at that. We're recording in the morning again. Apparently, I'm in a better mood in the morning, you said.
I didn't know. Rewind the tape. I don't say nothing. I'm just happier here. I'm thrilled to death. How you doing? How are things?
Good. So I remember one of the last episodes I mentioned I was going to be studying for a test over the holiday break. Mm-hmm. I moved it up to last Thursday so that I could actually enjoy my weekend, and I passed. So
awesome.
I did 2 days of prep for it. One day I did an online class, and the next day I read a textbook, and my husband's like, "You read the whole book in less than a day, 13 chapters on privacy." Yep, it was down to the wire. I finished studying, studying's in air quotes. I finished preparing
a book about privacy with 13 chapters, you're definitely stronger than I am. I don't know if I could stay awake for that.
Well, I didn't. The first day I fell asleep twice.
Oh, okay.
Because I started in the evening and I fell asleep twice. But
bleed. You are human.
Yeah, but then I had 6 hours the next day before my test, and I guess the anxiety kept me awake. So
you're a machine, but I like how you did that so you can have your weekend. What is it? It's gonna be a 4 day weekend.
Yeah, 4 days.
Wow.
It never happens.
Wow. Well, I hope you enjoy it. You deserve it. You work hard. You and your husband go out there and enjoy the 4th of July. Y'all doing anything? Of course, everyone's listening to this on Monday after 4th of July weekend, but that's okay.
Yeah, but so we're recording on Friday morning. Yeah. I'm going to be working on my class that I'm teaching.
I'm working on all this podcast stuff, so I'm making YouTube videos and all that, so...
I'll be working my side gig while I'm off.
I'm working my only non-paying gig. So,
yeah.
What we got in this podcast?
Well, let's see. Today we have a topic called Ugly Changes Coming to Your 401k This Fall. Ooh, that's a teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got a number of social media questions. This week, we're taking a break from the Savvy Savings segments, and then we'll jump back in next week after I have a bit of time to recover from the end of the quarter.
And we do have a lot of questions. So a lot of things we touch on come right out of the questions. So we'll see how that goes. So I just really wanted to hit on this one thing. We'll bring it out later as we get closer to open enrollment season for 401ks, healthcare, and all that. If you're one of the workers out there, Americans, that's fortunate enough to have a 401k at your workplace, a lot of people don't. You don't have one, right? You have to do one on your own, or?
No, I have a 401k.
Oh, do you now? Oh, okay. But previously you didn't. You had to go out on your own and...
Well, previously I was self-employed.
Ah, well, that would make sense. So you had to do a SEP?
I did a SEP, yeah.
Oh, awesome. That's something I know nothing about because I never... have done it and never needed to. I know a lot of people have that. So, but there's major changes coming to your 401k. And Amanda, if I didn't have enough things that triggered me, like the words fiduciary, whole life, financial advisors, we now have something new for me to get upset about.
Yeah, we're gonna I had a dream last night that you had put something in the financial advisors in our show notes, and I thought it was funny because I knew it was going to get you all riled up.
Did you watch my rant? I went off on our morning live stream. Oh, it's posted in the group. You should, okay. Maybe I should have consulted with you before I did my rant.
I'll check it out.
So anyway, before we get to the social media questions, I just want to go over your retirement plans and what's coming up this fall. So many people, Amanda, as you know, as we coach people, we take questions. They're already confused about 401ks. Many people don't even know the difference between traditional Roth, let alone target date funds. And target date funds is what you're typically placed into once you're hired at a company that has a 401k. And people don't even know what that is. They just know they're put into it and they let go. And those aren't that bad, right? I mean, it's okay. But
they're
not
that great.
No, because if you do what we say and what I rant about, you can basically almost get twice as much long term just by doing the S&P 500 index fund and anything better than that. So, or we also have salespeople out there. You know, many of our fans and just Americans in general, they're not educated in how to invest. We don't teach this in the schools. So they go to a financial advisor, they see the ads on TV, and they go in there and they're at the mercy of the person they're sitting in front of. And then that financial advisor places them in 8, 10, or what have we had, 17 mutual funds within a 401k or an IRA. Mm-hmm. It's insane. So just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, the lobbyists in the financial industry somehow got the U.S. Department of Labor to approve private equity firms and hedge funds to be placed in your 401k as an investment option. There has been, over the last year or two, actually 3 years, a lot of hedge funds are shutting down because they're realizing things have changed and they cannot beat the market. One just shut down last week on Thursday.
Speaking of the market, last week was a great week for the market.
Oh my goodness, it's killing. Especially if you have Shopify, Amanda.
You saw that, huh?
Oh, I keep watching it. And Tesla and all these crazy.
You just like to sit on the sidelines for that one.
Oh, but
what'd you say? Like, you said like a week or two ago, it's never too late to get in on a good one.
Yeah, but even it's hard to figure it out because you normally do not invest in something with multiples earnings per share that high. And you don't know where the top is. You don't. Because a lot of these have not made a profit, but they keep going up. It goes completely against everything we've been told for decades. So you don't know. At some point, if a vaccine comes out, right?
Yeah.
What if all people take the money out of the tech stocks and start going into all the opening up stocks again? So there would be a shift back to mid cap, small cap, and then all the tech ones would come back down. So it's like, I don't know. Well,
tech's not going away. I'm not worried.
Well, it's not going away. It's the price. The run-up is what everyone's concerned about. It's like nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But you bought in so low, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I bought in less than $100.
So the deal with these private... You just love to poke me with that. Oh, man, I missed that. I could have jumped in at 300 too. Ugh.
Yeah, well, that's about where I bought in at Tesla.
So with the 401ks, these private equity firms and hedge funds, there's going to be a lot of marketing coming out. They're going to tout how great this stuff is, how we're here to give you a greater options and all that. Please do not fall for it. And here's why. These are horrible. If you wanted something worse than Whole Life, Amanda, or similar, this would be it. It's not the same as Whole Life. I'm just saying how bad it is. These things have tons of fees. Here's the part that I don't like. They're called dark investments. You know what dark investments are?
I don't. Teach me.
You could just read the notes, but... Dark investments means I'm going to take money out of my paycheck. It goes to my 401k and I selected this hedge fund that I want to put money into. It goes
in
there.
Did you just hear how much I already read yesterday? I'm done reading.
I know. You put money in this hedge fund in your 401k. Then at that point, you have no idea what they do with it. After that, it's literally dark. You are in, like, if I go to a mutual fund, simple S&P, I can go right to Yahoo Finance, whatever, type it in, and I can see what their holdings are. I can see who the manager is. I can know everything about the investment, which is what I like.
But most people don't.
No, they don't. I'm going to teach people
really
how to do
that
all that.
Different from a dark investment.
Yeah. No, I'm going to teach people how to do that on the YouTube videos. But for hedge funds, you have no clue, and they can do whatever they want with it.
Hey, also, when I say most people, that includes me. Just so you know.
There you go.
I don't even look at them.
I've learned that if I take, people hear of dodging cocks, right? Which I dog all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's in the same category as financial advisors and whole life for you.
You know, that fund actually used to be okay, but it's gone really, I don't know if it's the fund manager or what is up with them, but they've done a terrible job. It's like one of the worst ones in 401ks right now. But
maybe they formerly worked for Warren Buffett.
Definitely not Dave Portnoy. What I found is if I show people like a mutual fund, like I made those graphics for our Facebook group, I'll say, here's the title. Then I'll put the top 10 stocks of that fund as a graphic. Their logos, like Microsoft's logo, the Apple and Amazon. People suddenly see that and now they understand. They love visuals. So that's the only reason I do a lot of that. So because of the low-cost providers, which we promote, Vanguard, Schwab, and Fidelity, and by the way, we get nothing back from these people. We just like them. And because of those three companies driving prices down in the market, all these other companies, Merrill Lynch, Edward Jones, private equity firms, they all have to find other ways to make money because they're getting killed by Vanguard, Schwab, and Fidelity. And those companies, by the way, Amanda, are giving away like funds for free.
Mm-hmm.
Schwab and Fidelity had to do free funds to combat Vanguard. It's great for investors and consumers right now. The problem is the U.S. Department of Labor has now allowed the hedge funds access to your paycheck. And that is not a good thing. Lots of fees, lots of commissions, and you don't know what they're doing. And the fact is, if you do, just Google it. Most hedge funds and private equity firms are shutting down because they can't beat the market, which is, Amanda, the S&P 500 index.
All right.
Please stay the course. You're going to hear a lot more about this coming up as we get closer to the open enrollment periods, because you're going to get flyers in the mail. The ads on TV, I can't wait to see those because I'm going to mock the crap out of them. I just want to steer you guys, stay the course. Everything will be okay. Just ignore it. Don't fall for it.
Okay.
I'm going to be so triggered this fall. Hey, it's more content, right?
That's right.
I got a social media question for you.
Okay.
How many questions we got? We got a number of questions here. Let's see.
Looks like six.
Yeah. So here's
twice
one.
Twice as many as we usually do.
Here's a good one, though. I like this one. I got this in a private message. You ready?
Okay.
So, some of these baby steps do not sound realistic.
Wait,
at first,
what?
I was... it gets better.
It's called baby steps for a reason, because like practically a baby could follow them.
Amanda, it gets better than that. Okay, hold on. I'm not mocking the person that sent me this, because I know they're listening. I just... You really need to hear our answers, because we don't talk before we do the show. We just have notes. We just do it. So,
yeah, and I don't even look at the notes half the time. So you hear my true reactions.
And I think people appreciate our realistic, unscripted reactions. Some of these baby steps do not sound realistic. At first, I was thinking, wow, if these people can do it, I can do it. And to pay off all this debt in such a short amount of time sounds amazing. Then my husband asked me, well, how much are these people making hourly, weekly, biweekly, monthly? It's hard to judge when we don't know the facts behind it. I know the point is you're paying it off and that's all that matters, but I'm curious for my own debt. I have $12,000 of credit debt, just over $20,000 in car loan that's supposed to be paid off in 4 years from now. I make $15.86 an hour plus at least $100 in tips and work about 35, 40 hours a week. How does
But
this
they say
work?
100 in tips an hour. That's pretty decent.
Yeah, I think I just copy and pasted this. So what they meant is I make $15.86 an hour and I make about $100 in tips and
like
work about each shift, which is good. So must be
honestly, that's a pretty good pay rate if you're also getting tips.
You know, a lot of people only make $100 a day.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's tax free typically.
Yeah. That's above minimum wage. I mean, I shouldn't say it's a good rate because it's still not really a livable wage.
No, it's not. No, it's not steady.
For someone with tips, it's well above the minimum wage for that, which is also like outrageously low. But
and tips are not guaranteed. So I'm not a fan of that and basing a lot of budget.
Right.
I don't know,
especially right now. You know.
So they want to know, how does this work?
Okay. Well, one, if you listen to the baby steps, like on the Dave Ramsey show, when they do the debt-free scream, he always asks them what their income was when they started and what it is when they got to the end. And you'll notice a pattern. It always goes up. I feel pretty confident saying always. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Craig?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You as a lawyer, of course, that means a lot.
Yeah, when I say always.
Always. Yes.
So the reason that happens is because people, they get frustrated too. They get excited and motivated and they start making these payments and then they're like, oh, this is not happening fast enough for me. So what do? They get a bigger shovel to dig themselves out. They go and get side gigs or they work hard on getting promoted at work to get a pay increase or they get a different job. They say, you know what? I'm not making enough here and there's no way I'm going to get a raise. So I'm going to move to a different company where I can get better pay. So there are lots of options out there to get a bigger shovel. Lots of these people are adding, you know, second jobs, delivering pizzas or, you know, driving for Uber. It's completely doable.
Well, and then of course I look at, see, people get upset when I point this part out. It says they work 35, 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
How many hours a week do you work?
Oh my gosh.
Between you and I and other people I know that are successful, none of them work 35, 40 hours a week.
Right. Yeah. So, to me, that's a part-time job.
We talked about this before. The only thing that I know is work.
Yeah.
I started when I was 14.
I have a second gig, but I am contractually expected to work at a minimum of 60 hours a week at my, you know, day job. So that's the minimum.
So you're
I almost never hit the minimum. It's so above that.
Let's add that up. So 60 hours at your day job. Mm-hmm. Then you have side gigs after that. How many hours do you think you put in with teaching and your other stuff you do?
Usually at least 20.
So we're now up to 80 hours.
Yeah, that's the minimum. That's why I said 80 to 100.
So most of my friends that I know that have done well, you would think they don't have to work anymore. They still work 72 to 80 hours a week. Right. Easily.
And you know what? People say, oh, well, I can't be working my entire life. I still find time to run, to exercise every day, to, you know, watch animal shows at night before I go to bed. It's not as if my entire life. But honestly, I have a hard time just sitting. I don't know what people are doing with their free time. I mean, granted, I don't have young kids in the house. So there's that.
Well, yeah, that is actually a very good point.
Admittedly, it's much more challenging for single parents or parents with young children in the house, especially like right now. But there's plenty of online side gigs. I mean, mine's completely online.
There's tons of side gigs.
All my gigs are online. Yeah, I just sit at my desk in my office. Sometimes I stand because it converts to standing.
Once you pay off that debt of $12,000 for the credit card, $20,000 for the car loan, that's $32,000 that you're not going to have to pay anymore. And you know what? It's your decision. If you could do the side gigs just to get rid of your debt and start going through the baby steps, you can actually get to a point where you don't have to work side gigs. You're working. Yeah. Right now, you don't see it because you're not working enough with the bigger shovel, as Amanda said, to get rid of this debt. All you're doing is working to pay the bank. That's all you're doing.
Yeah. And to pay. Plus, this person mentioned that they have a husband, but didn't mention the husband's income. So, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. So what's up with that?
The husband's just sitting there criticizing everyone else. Like, what are you doing?
Well, you know what, though? This is almost what Chris Hogan talks about in his book, Everyday Millionaire. Did you ever read that book?
Yeah, I have it here on my shelf.
So the very first chapter, he talks about the term millionaire and how people perceive people that are millionaires or bad people. You know, did you remember all that? And people just, because other people are in debt making, you know, a living, they look at millionaires like, oh, well, they were given it to them. They inherited it. That's not the case.
A lot of them are teachers, and we all know teachers are some of the lowest paid individuals out there.
Right. Yeah. And they have to pay for their own supplies. My daughter's a teacher. She has to pay for a lot of things out of her pocket. That stuff's not supplied to them. So they all have these containers, and before the summer, they have to put everything in storage somewhere. There's a lot of cost being a teacher. The people that you think are millionaires are not. The doctors and lawyers, right, Amanda? There's a lot of lawyers that are not millionaires. You would think
they
are.
The other thing I would say here is people who get out of debt quickly, sell that $20,000 car. You're car poor.
Okay. I wasn't going to go there, but you are absolutely correct. It's like, well, you should be in a beater. You could eliminate that loan right now.
Yep. Sell it.
Sell it and work your way up and save the money for a down payment on the car.
If you can't, so you said it would be paid off in 4 years, your car poor. If you can't pay it off in 18 months from now, you need to sell it immediately and buy something that's much cheaper.
They're not doing the baby steps is what's happening here.
No, that's why they're not realistic, because they're not committed to it.
You mean Dave Ramsey-ish?
I don't think they're even doing ish.
Okay.
I think it's anti-Dave at this point, because all they're finding are excuses on why not to do it.
All right, let's get on the next question.
Sorry, whoever you are, I'm sorry to be harsh, but sometimes I've done that. You need to hear reality.
I've done that with coaching. I tell them flat out, it's like, I'm your coach. I'm the guy that's telling you to do extra push-ups. You're not going to like me, but none of your friends are going to tell you what I'm going to tell you need to do. And people actually appreciate that, Amanda. You know that? People appreciate that honesty.
Love. We love you, but you're not doing it right. So
I know I've upset a lot of people. Mm. They come back later and say, no, you're right. Here you go. This one's for you, Amanda. Specifically for you. You guys are my heroes! Exclamation point. You said you like those.
Mm-hmm. I do like.
I believe I
bring
heard
on the sucking up. Yeah.
I believe I heard Amanda say she did some pet sitting. My teenage, is that true?
No, I use a
you
pet
You used
sitter.
Them, right? You didn't actually do it.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I would, but Roscoe would get super jealous. Okay. I love animals, but yeah, he's kind of a attention hog.
Well, I think you're not enough of a pet lover. You can help out with this anyway. My teenage daughter is trying to earn money for her first car. Okay, right there. I love hearing this stuff.
Did you pay for your first car?
My first one was, okay, I'm thinking back. My first car was given to me by my parents, a hand-me-down. Mm-hmm. So they got, but it was a station wagon.
Well, I paid for my first car. It was like, I think $600 for a 1984 Buick Century. So it was not a very flashy car for a teenager.
Yeah. Having a station wagon Malibu was not either. So,
and when I say 1984, just for context, this was in 1996. So it was a 12-year-old.
Did it have wood paneling on it?
It did. And it had velvet seats. Yeah.
I was just recalling. I said, I think those cars had fake paneling on it. Son.
Yeah, exactly.
You look like the Griswolds.
It was always breaking down. My dad and I had a lot of bonding over car repairs.
Yeah, you can't fix cars yourself anymore. Those days are over. Anyway, my teenage daughter is trying to earn money for her first car by taking care of dogs and cats in her neighborhood while the owner goes on vacation.
Okay.
God, I love this when teenagers...
I guess I have watched like a neighbor's animal while they're on vacation, but I just go check on them and hang out with them at their own house.
Okay. Well, I know you've paid for pet sitting.
Yes.
Okay, so here you go. How much is considered an appropriate amount to charge for 5 visits to their home, 4 visits on a Saturday and 1 on a Sunday, to feed and water 3 cats, clean the litter box, and take the dog for a short walk each visit?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not cleaning the litter box each visit. I promise you that.
Oh, okay.
And cats only have to be fed. Well,
it looks like they're only doing it for a weekend. It's not like a whole week. They said 4 visits on a Saturday, 1 on a Sunday.
Wait. There's a dog too. Okay. I was like, why are they walking cats?
But let me clear this up, Amanda. There's a train leaving Chicago driving 80 miles an hour. Okay.
All right. Thanks. I was like, why are they walking cats? Okay. So there's a dog. So the typical, like if you go on Rover, first of all, the price is going to be a little lower because it's a teenager without a lot of pet credentials. Like it's always more to pay someone who's like a vet tech or someone, you know, who has a lot of experience with animals. But even inexperienced one, this doesn't take a lot of experience to go feed some cats and walk a dog. Right.
Right.
So the going rate for a drop-in or a pet walk is like between $10 and $15 each. So, but given the that's usually like for one visit a day. Given the volume of these, I would say it would be fair to say $50. What do you think?
Sure. I mean, I grew up, my mom was a dog breeder. So I was around pets and all that, and I don't even know what they were charging. Of course, we're talking 70s and 80s. So I don't know what.
I mean, I usually pay like $35 for someone to stay and overnight and pretty much around the clock with my dog. So,
wow.
I mean, keep that in mind that you're not going to even go that high. You know, it's going to be.
Could they go on Rover? You've used Rover. By the way, Rover's a partner of ours.
I love Rover.
So they're now a partner of ours. I just got the notification. They email me. They're all great. So we do make a little money on that. But we're on the deals page on our website, rockonthemoney.com. We'll have Rover there with their latest deals and coupons. And the only reason I applied for them is because you have promoted them on the podcast saying how much you love them.
I do. I love them. So you're a teenager. I'm not sure if there's a age requirement to be a pet sitter on Rover, but
here's what I was wondering. Can she go on there and figure out what other people are charging? Is there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You could go on there and do price comparisons, but you know, what I was going to say is you can try and be a pet sitter on there and have your profile set up. And, you know, it's just like any other app where you get reviews and, you know, they do a background check. So that's why I think you might have to be 18, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Huh. Well, there you go.
You can still do the price comparisons there and see what's the going rate in that area. And then I'm assuming it's a cash deal. So
that's a good point.
Any app fees or anything like that.
That's a good point in her area because markets are different. Like pets sitting here in the DC area, I guarantee you're paying a lot more here.
Oh, that might be true. Yeah. So take a look at what the rates are in your area. It's going to vary.
Yeah. I love it when the teenagers are out there working to earn money for their, for whatever they want. That's how you learn.
Like my son. So we had neighbors in Wisconsin who spent half their year in Florida. And so during the winter, while they were gone, they paid him a couple $100 a month just to do the snow blowing and shoveling in the yard. Cause you know, the city still requires that you keep your sidewalks clear or you get a fine.
We have that where I live. I don't know if it's HOA or the city or the county. I mean, I live on a county road in an HOA neighborhood, which is weird, but I have to have I wish I had kids to mow my grass. I love it for the exercise, but if I knew somebody that wanted to do that, I'd pay them just. Mm-hmm. If I see, this is the way I am. Did I ever say this? If I'm driving down the road, I see some kid out selling like cookies or lemonade, I will go back there and I pay them like $20 for whatever it is.
Yeah.
I love promoting kids trying to make a buck.
Yeah.
Like my neighbors across the street, the little girls, they were outside at the end of the driveway. They were selling these little candy bars. So I pulled up with my car saying, how much? They said, well, they're a dollar a piece. I said, well, I'll take that one. I gave them a 20. I love doing that.
I do the same thing, but mine's usually limited to my nieces and nephews with their fundraisers.
I'm glad I'm out of that. All mine are cross country. Anyway, I love it. I promote kids doing that. And I love that stuff. Those are the kids that I think they'll do very well. They understand money. And I love that the parents make them go earn it.
I love that this one is earning her own money for her first car. That's a great way to start out financial literacy for your life. So I love it.
Because they are working, getting paid, doing that, they can open up an IRA.
That's true.
If you can convince them to also put money away in the IRA, money
in order to have a Roth IRA, you have to have earned income and you can only deposit up to the amount of your earned income.
So, that would be the next stage and also start building up an emergency fund for that car that they need to understand that all the little things that go along with the car, they should have to pay for that as well. And of course, as a parent, like I did, you're always waiting back in the wings, but that's how they learn. Nothing's for free. And when you purchase things, things have a cost to them long-term as well. So the total cost
like insurance, of ownership. My son had to pay his insurance.
Yep. And
I paid for my, gas and everything when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. But as a parent, you're there you're there to catch them in case, but sit back and let them fall. It's okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, let's take a quick break. And then we got a couple more questions. They're good ones coming up, Amanda.
Okay.
We got stuff about YouTube TV and notary side gigs. And it's really good. All right. We'll be right back. Right after this, you're listening to Rock on the Money.
This podcast podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
We got a lot of things going on. We're expanding. We're on YouTube. YouTube.com/RockOnTheMoney. All right. You ready for the next question?
Yep.
All we're doing today, guys, got a lot of questions for you from you. You can always email us your questions to podcast@RocklandUSA.com. Why do I not have RockOnTheMoney.com? That's stupid. We got to fix that. Put it on my to-do list, Amanda.
No, I like that it's Rockland, USA. That's what our show is produced from. So,
okay, here we go. Here's a question. And this is a savvy savings question, as a matter of fact. You posted in the Facebook group that YouTube TV is going up to $65 a month. $64.99 to be exact. That is about what I used to pay for cable. Do you have any recommendations for lower pricing elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. I think it was on the last episode or one before it?
Yeah, a couple ago, like 64, 65, whatever. We did a whole segment, Savvy Savings, about paid TV.
64, 55, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Fubo TV has now expanded to be 100 channels. Here's the thing about YouTube TV, because I still have it for now. And this price increase occurs in mid-August. What happened is CBS is now part of YouTube TV. And what I mean CBS, Viacom is all of their TV channels like VH1, BET. I don't know, there's they added 10 more channels. What people probably don't realize, like cable companies, you know, whenever your cable bill kept going up every year, ESPN would raise the price. The cable companies and these providers still have to pay for the content. It's just a string of people till it gets to you. Then you got to help defray the cost. So YouTube TV has added a bunch of new channels. I think it's like 10 new channels to it, but it costs money. $10. I think it was $54.99. Now it's going to $64.99. So $10 more. But you do get a lot of benefits with that. I'm not trying to sell them. They're not a sponsor or anything like that. You do get 6 accounts. So you can share it with, like, my daughter has an account with it. She uses it down in Virginia. You can have up to 3 devices on at the same time. And I have exceeded that once by mistake. And you get notified on the screen, up to many devices, and to just turn off one of them. So,
yeah. So if you have adult children, you can make them pay part of the fee.
Yeah. So it is a great service because you get unlimited DVR and all that. So you need to weigh that. What works for you? What content? But there's other options that we've discovered, like Philo. What was the one that only had 20 channels? Wasn't that AT&T? There was an option that had bare bones. It all really comes down to what you want to watch. Look through the channel guide. Do you really need all of this? Do you need to have 6 accounts? Do you have to have multiple devices on at the same time? Because they do know if too many accounts are logged on at the same time. You really need to consider all of that and only pay what you want. Or you could just do it for free by buying a Roku device. There's tons of free content on Roku.
Yeah.
Amanda.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tips? I think that was basically your whole segment condensed down, but
yeah,
we have a link in the show notes. If you want to try Fubo TV for a week, they are a sponsor of ours. So if you want to try them, it's just a week. And if you don't like it, but it's 100 channels It is cheaper than YouTube TV. They're trying to be competitors. I never knew heard of Fubo before, but they were more of a soccer and sports network that you could stream. But now they're trying to be competitive with everybody else. They've added on and now they're trying to be a big wig. But a lot of people never heard of them. So anyway, you can try it. Doesn't cost anything. Social media question four, side gig, put on your lawyer hat, because I know nothing about this. I use it. I'm thinking of being a notary as a side gig. What does it take to get certified and can I make money doing it? So first, let's say what a notary is.
Yeah. So a notary is someone who witnesses your signing of official documents in their presence.
And they have one of those cool stamp things, right?
Yeah, they have a stamp. So it varies by state. It's a state by state requirement. So I can tell you what it takes in Florida, and then it's probably similar in other states, but you would want to check with your specific state to see what the process is. So they say it's simple, but first of all, you have to meet the requirements. You have to be at least 18 years old, a legal resident of the state of Florida. You have to, I don't know if this is on the list in every state, but in Florida, one of the requirements is you can read, write, and understand English. And you have not been convicted of a felony, even if that felony was kept off of your public record, like if it's been expunged or anything. There are some ways you can get around that felony restriction, but I'm not going to go into them here. If that applies to you, just work with your bonding agency to see if you can still apply.
Okay.
To sign up, you have to read the statute so you understand what it says, and then you have to swear to it under oath. So, you know, swear to it. Make sure you read the entire statute chapter before signing your application so you fully understand your rights and obligations. You have to take a 3-hour Florida notary course. It can be done online, I believe. Yeah, an online notary course. And then once you finish the course, you'll be able to print a certificate of completion to submit with your application. The application process, you have to go through a Florida notary service. It doesn't come through this state. So again, you have to work with your bonding agency, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But, you know, the application will include your personal information, your employer, former or current employer information, your qualifications, a character affidavit, an oath of office, and the bond. Your character affidavit, that's a fancy word for references. So it has to be someone who knows you personally. They can't be related to you, and they have to be willing to swear, again, under oath, that you are of good character. And here's the expensive part. So that bond that I mentioned, so you have to apply through a bonding agency. And in the state of Florida, they require that all notaries carry a minimum of a 4-year $7,500 bond. So that's something you have to pay up front and just keep in like an escrow account for each 4-year period. So you do have to have that investment in order to start becoming a notary. And I don't know what most notaries have to provide their services for free. So I'm not sure it's a very lucrative side gig that you can charge, but it's going to be a nominal fee. You're not going to charge hundreds of dollars for each one. That bond, it also doesn't protect you, the notary. It's instead in place to protect against damages the notary may cause. And then there's a state filing fee with that bond as well, like $39. So
while you were talking, I went and Googled something. There is the National Notary Association, the NNA. It's been around since 1957. They have online classes. Apparently, you can be a remote online notary.
Yeah.
What the heck is, you mean you can do notaries over the internet?
Yeah, this has become popular right now under this pandemic, especially. Even a lot of courts are now accepting that. So,
well, how do you prove that? Do you do it by watching them on a webcam or something? Or
yeah, I think so. I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
Well, apparently there's a class for it. But anyway, so this website, they sell all of the stuff. You can get your bond through them. Apparently it's a full service organization. And they even have a convention That's got to be an exciting convention to go to. The notary convention. It's going to be in Orlando, not too far from you, in May 2021. But
NNA 2021 continues to have large groups here.
So maybe you want to go to nationalnotary.org, and they have classes and they have a lot of information about that. Insurance bonds, online training, stuff like that. And so there you go. So it bottom line, it sounds like what you said is, I can't make money doing it.
I don't think it's a money-making gig. No.
Let's move on. Social media question five. You ready? My car loan is about $12,000 and my student loans about $82,000.
Okay.
Are my last ginormous hurdle before being debt-free? Yeah, it's ginormous. At least they realize it. I'll have my car paid off next July, if not sooner. How do you stay motivated, Amanda? Can someone make student loans illegal? That's what they said. I feel so ashamed of even getting into so much debt. You know, a side note, a lot of people do make that comment to me as I coach them or in Messenger. They said they feel so ashamed that they put themselves in that situation because they did not know. Yeah. And it is nothing to be ashamed of.
Especially when it comes to student loans. I mean, these are kids who are like 18 signing on for these huge loan notes. You know, we don't let 18-year-olds drink. We don't let them, you know, do a lot of things. And they can't, a lot of 18-year-olds still can't even get a full driver's license. They're still under provisional. But yet here we're like, here's a blank check for $50,000 and you don't even have to prove how you're going to spend it. But eventually you'll have to pay it back under some huge interest rates. And we're going to be so kind to you. We're not even going to charge you that interest while you're in school.
And the financial industry loves you so much, they're not even bankruptible.
That's right.
So
you're stuck as an 18-year-old. You've come out of high school with probably no financial literacy courses, and you are just ripe for pickings from these predators. So I wouldn't be ashamed. It's happening to a lot of people. That money's awfully tempting when you get offered, a loan for much more than what your tuition is. It's like, oh, great. Look at all this free money I have. I can spend on pizza and beer. So that's addressing the shame part.
How do you stay motivated to pay off all that shame?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about motivation a couple episodes ago as well. My advice is to keep images around your house that are constantly viewable of what your goal is or what motivates you. So put them on your mirror so you look at it while you're brushing your teeth in the morning and night. And so you can create a mantra that you are constantly thinking of that keeps you motivated. Paid off by next July. That's pretty good on the car loan. That's that's only a year from now. So, you know, a year goes by quickly. That would be surprising. You can go back and listen to our chat about question number one. Find yourself a bigger shovel.
If you're
having trouble staying motivated, try and speed up that timeline.
Just doing simple math here. We're recording this in July. She said next July. It's a $12,000 loan. That's $1,000. So if you're doing the debt snowball, she's still making
more because of interest.
Oh, absolutely. And she's making the minimum payments on that. And we're doing the debt snowball. Here's the part that doesn't help us a lot because we're not taking live calls. We can't ask how much you're making and the other additional questions. So we can only go by what you're telling us.
Yeah, that's right. So that other listener's husband is going to be a naysayer on our answers here.
This person sounds motivated. They feel bad about what they did, but they're putting over $1,000 a month towards that car loan.
Yeah.
Just basically
let that shame motivate you. Yeah. You know, when you're laying in bed at night before you fall asleep, just imagine what your life is going to be like and how you're going to feel emotionally once you're rid of that debt. It's really great to have that monkey off your back.
One thing that I remember is what I had to do to pay off my debts like this. Yeah. When you get done with that, what, 100,000, 95,000?
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident they're not going to go back because they felt the pain. And
I had $93,000 in student loans and paid them off in 2 years after law school.
This person is motivated. I think they're going to be like you. They're going to knock this out, but they're not going to do it bad. And then think about all the money you can have after that you can invest. You're going to be fine. Yeah. You just got to get
there.
Yeah,
and you know what I'll say about student loans is I'm willing to bet that it's not one student loan for that amount of money. It's probably because these loan servicers, they break it up by year and sometimes even semester, but usually year. So this is probably a combination of multiple loans. And so, you know, make your goal to pay off one of those at a time. And, you know, don't make a consolidated extra payment. I mean, obviously pay the minimum on all of them, but continue that snowball method through it and put all of your extra car loan money that you've been paying towards the smallest student loan within that big bucket and then make minimums on the others. You can tell that money where to go within that large bucket of money, especially if they're federal loans.
All right. Last question for the day. This is a quickie.
Okay.
How do I have a savings account but avoid maintenance fees? So I'm looking at my accounts. I've already lost $45 in maintenance fees. I'm banking with TD Ameritrade or TD Bank. I'm sorry. How do you guys avoid fees? Oh, this is an easy one.
Yeah. Find a different bank.
But... And which banks have we discovered have no fees?
A savings account.
A lot of them, a lot of the brick and mortar banks pretty much have fees. And if you just go online to like Marcus by Goldman Sachs, Ally, you can avoid a lot of those fees because they don't have the big bank buildings they got to pay for.
The other way you avoid fees is check with your brick and mortar. There's usually some kind of account that you can have that avoids fees if you meet certain requirements. Like maybe you have to have so many deposits per month or you have to keep a minimum balance. That's usually one of them.
Right.
And if you fall below that minimum, then you get a maintenance fee. So look at the requirements and meet the requirements.
There you go. A lot of people do go below that threshold and that's what gets them in trouble.
Because they're not using it as a savings account. They're using it as their extra money to pull over to their checking account.
Yeah. So there you go. Thank you much, Amanda. Great. That was good. Do you like doing questions like that?
I do. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do another one. Just maybe we can make July just question month. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll do one more. See how it goes. See if people like it. All right. Thank you, everybody. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.